Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Then you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 750 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day, www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
between this world and the next, getting thinner. I'm Chris Sloan, inviting you to join in and listen to a new podcast that deals with the paranormal, Parapod, with new guests every week, from paranormal investigators to the people they help. Hear actual EVP. The people that captured
him. You go into a case to disprove a haunting.
Three flashlights, actually four counting the lantern, were actually honed in on this thing, and it was swallowing the light up.
Parapod. Log on to myspace.com/ Chris Sloan Radio. That's myspace.com/ CHRISSLONE Radio. The only difference between the believer and the skeptic is time. And your time is now. You're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Don't forget, all music here on Ghostly Talk is independent music. So we want you to give it a chance, give it a listen, and go to www.ghostlytalk.com. And look in the left-hand column towards the bottom, and there's always a list.
The 6:30 to 7 hour was November's Doom.
Awesome.
November's Doom. The band you just heard from the last break was a band called Virus from the UK. Old band, nice enough to let us use their stuff.
So awesome.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Now, on to things. Life events led Dr. Hardcastle to discover the power of hypnosis. Shortly after the birth of her second child, she suffered the death of her beloved stepson. Mm. While her family grieved their loss, her husband had a major career transition, and then his father died. In an attempt to manage and relieve her grief, stress, and anxiety, she explored alternative therapies, but found no solace. Mm. All along, the answer was in the office next door. Working as an ecumenical chaplain at Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio, Dr. Hardcastle teamed up with a Roman Catholic priest who was studying hypnosis as a part of a master's program. The priest loaned her his textbook, and she began a dedicated discipline of self-hypnosis. Gradually, she located and strengthened the still point of peace, harmony, and happiness within. This is another one of those shows where there's a theme going on.
Yeah, okay. Well, what's her website, first?
Do you know, this is really interesting because this happens more, it's starting to happen more often than not.
It's getting really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The website is, of course, www.RebeccaHardcastle.com. It's spelled exactly how it sounds.
Yeah.
Rebecca, RebeccaHardcastle. .com. And of course, that'll be permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com in the guests section. So, but yeah, this is an Ohio-based story.
Well,
we mentioned both Wright, you know, the Wright brothers.
Yeah,
in the last half hour.
Strange, man. Now, I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel here or anything like that. But okay, Rebecca, welcome to the show. By the way, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. What a fun evening.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, we were on the break, and we were, you know, Rebecca and I were going back and forth, and she's like, well, where are you guys from? I'm like, we're from Michigan. And she's like, oh, I'm from Dayton, Ohio. Now, as you guys know, last half hour, the Prodigy people, our friends from that group, that's where they work, that's where they live, is Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then oh, yeah, Wright Patterson Air Force. I'm like, we just talked about that. What's going on here? This is strange. And this has been going on more and more, Rebecca. We've been noticing these little things and we're paying attention to it.
Yeah, it hasn't been planned or anything. It's just
no, it hasn't.
All these threads that seem to be interwoven throughout everything. But it sounds like you had a hard time, and then you finally found hypnosis to find your peace, harmony, and happiness within. I want some peace, harmony, and happiness.
You can help us out.
Learn how to trance yourself.
Oh, okay. Do I bang my head against the wall? What do I do?
if that's how he has to do it, can I do it for him?
Yeah, Bonnie volunteers to help me.
Well, no. you were able to find it. I mean, obviously, this was a very rough time for you.
Very rough.
And you were able, which is rare nowadays, I think, for most people. They don't find that kind of harmony or peace.
Yeah, because I noticed that, like in the intro, it always does seem to build up, and it all sort of happens.
When you carry this
right at once, you know, yeah. And you know, instead of spreading it out over 60, 70 years of your whole life, it all just seems to bunch up, mm-hmm. and then you're, ooh, what do, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
that's exactly what happened to me. I just, I was just lost. I couldn't settle down. I couldn't get myself focused, and I used hypnosis. And then the hypnosis spilled over into the study of the paranormal, and I went on from there, and I got certified in hypnosis. I do a lot of life coaching. And then the whole field, you know, I moved to Phoenix, and the whole field of UFOs opened to me. And so now I do a lot of work in the UFO field as a result of that.
Well, I'm sure we're going to get into that.
Oh, I hope so.
To get things rolling here, let's just say it, XO consciousness, your 21st century mind. Now, that is a mouthful right there, I have to say.
I imagine that's a couple of shows worth of thought.
Sure it is, and we're going to cram it into, you know.
Yeah, we always do.
An hour here. But let's get at, what is this all about? Can we talk about this a little bit?
Exoconsciousness was a concept that I actually conceived. I was doing a lot of work in the paranormal and parapsychic sciences. I got my PhD in parapsychic sciences, and I'd done all this UFO research. I'm a contactee, and I just started, you know, putting all these pieces together. Literally one morning, I'm lying in bed. I'll never forget it. The entire gestalt of exoconsciousness just laid in my head. It's like, this is your concept. This is what you're supposed to nurture and take with you through life. And this is your career, literally. And so I started to define it as the extraterrestrial origins,
okay,
dimensions, and abilities of human consciousness. So in other words, the whole premise that, you know, we as a species were seeded by extraterrestrials that were part of a universe of universal species, and we're one species within a universal species. And looking into the whole origins, the whole religious question, because, you know, I was a chaplain before, so I'd gone to seminary, you know, with Boston University. I've got a seminary background.
Yeah.
So the whole link between religion and the paranormal. I noticed Bonnie was talking about that in her bio, and because that's quite a bridge to cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In into that field. And so then I went on from that, and now I'm actually very active with a couple groups. I not only do the exoconsciousness work, and I'm a writer, and I have that new book out.
Yeah, we're
but
talk
I also
about that, yeah.
Yeah, I also work with a group called Phoenix Lights 3 with Dr. Linky Tai, who was a key witness for the Phoenix Lights,
mm-hmm.
and Terry Mansfield. She runs the Arizona Department of Peace here in Phoenix. The three of us are the Phoenix Lights 3. And I also work with Michael Sala, Alfred Weber, Jeff Peckman in exopolitics.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And just recently, actually, we three women birthed another thing called the ETVoteNow.org. So okay. We've launched kind of like similar to what Jeff's doing, but we're asking for a formal Department of Extraterrestrial Alliances where there's formal protocol between our Earth species within the United States as well as the world, and extraterrestrial species, where that's formal and out in the open.
Now, Rebecca, there's a lot of people who are absolutely convinced of, you know, life outside or off of Earth. You know, there's people
right.
who've been contacted.
Most people live their life outside of Earth a lot of times.
So I'm right. Well, absolutely. Hey, that's very true.
I believe that too.
They're in my clientele.
but I mean that, you know, but the thing is that for folks who, you know, they go through college and then they get some kind of career and then they wake up every day and go into the office and then go home and they have to buy their, you know, their coffees on the way to and from
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, they're just trying to make it through the day, and unfortunately mm-hmm. TV keeps, you know, piling on reality TV shows. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are not into that mode of thinking. There's people who just don't know.
They just think day to day. They don't think very far ahead. Right. They don't think big picture stuff. They just think...
Right, and society sort of plans it that way. But, you know, there are people who just get through their day, and they do not... While, yeah, they see it on TV that people, you know, they do the ET things, or they know that they're on at the show, there's all the sci-fi stuff. But they're not convinced that there is life, you know, that originated or is not on this planet.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they're not totally convinced. And I'm sure you know this. This is not new.
Mm-hmm.
But... There's a lot of people who are, but I just wonder, for the mainstream is saying, you know, no, there's no ETs.
Well, a lot of the mainstream says that, I think.
Right, and despite all of the people that they may even know saying, I got abducted, or, I did this, the government still says... There's no, I don't know what you're talking about,
yeah.
You know, and of
right.
course everyone's screaming cover up, and then that looks
right.
funny, and you know, so
right.
how do you take a political thing like Jeff is doing or you're doing and convince people who all they want to do is have their, you know, $5.75 in the morning to get their coffee?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I don't think that you convince anybody.
Okay.
I think that what happens, and it's funny, you were talking earlier in the show about how it seems like your shows are so connected now,
yes.
what, where the pieces of your show are so connected. I think a lot of that is all about what's happening in terms of the whole Mayan code. I don't know if you guys have done shows on that, the Mayan code, time acceleration, Barbara Hanclough. And I think what's happening is that, you know, once you're in this, frequency, you know, the kind of multidimensional mind frequency, that things do start coming together in an easier way than you ever dreamed possible.
Well,
and so I think part of it is, you know, if people are kind of bumping up against, you know, financially, economically, certainly in Detroit, you know, that's happening to you, it's happening to us out here in Phoenix in terms of the housing market, and I think when you run up against, like I did, that you read in my bio, you hit a brick wall, and all of a sudden, it's not so much watching it on TV, but all of a sudden you personally start having an experience, and instead of being a casual observer, and I don't know if I believe this stuff or not, all of a sudden you're an experiencer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that whole subjective piece that goes with exoconsciousness, that once you get in there and you start participating in the fact that, hey, you know, I think this belief system has some validity, that's when you change. And I'm a true believer that all we have to do, especially with ET Vote Now, Department of Extraterrestrial Alliances, the whole peace movement, you know, what Jeff is doing, I think all we have to do is create the structures. These are the structures of the new age. These are the structures of the new world. These are the structures of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, people over time, and in an accelerated time, I must say also, are going to be attracted to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and it's going to be a different way of doing things. It's almost like that, you know, Kevin Costner show about, you know, build it and they will come, kind of idea.
Well, and that's really what, I mean, the way I think nature, well, the humankind is that, you know, it is very difficult for one person to, like, you know, we've always heard of, you know, you always hear these dogmatic stories of this one man who led a nation.
Oh, please.
You know, yeah.
Oh, please.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was just online with a friend of mine who's, Larry Lowe, who's writing as a UFO examiner. I don't know if you guys get the UFO examiner. But, you know, Larry and Jeff were kind of, you know, I was CC'd in this discussion that they were talking about, you know, how you get on Google and that sort of thing. And I just emailed Larry back and I said, God, like, you know, we belong to the greatest community. What a great community we all belong to. Because, you know, the whole thing of, you know, independence and I did it by myself and I'm the savior, it's just not true. And it has never been true. It has never been true.
Well, it's a God complex, first of all, and if you have that, you're
gonna... And this new reality, we have to let go of that.
Yeah.
And that's why much of my work in exoconsciousness is helping people let go of old belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And not to condemn them, not to trash them, but just to say, this is a belief system that I had for a long time, And now I no longer have it, and I'm okay. And I don't have to be frightened. I don't have to be traumatized. I don't have to make war with this old belief system. I can just simply let it go. And I don't need to condemn people who still have it.
Well, and I think that right there says a lot for people, because I think that's what a lot of people do is when they, you know, let's just say, you know, a good example, just habits, for example, smoking, okay? The three of us,
right.
The three of us know that all too well, all right? And
mm-hmm.
I know in the past what I've done, you know, is I've always been like, you know, I'll just take the pack, rip it up and just stomp on it and, you know, and set it on fire, which really wouldn't make much sense. But, okay, I throw it away.
And
I'm waging war on this habit. I'm going to destroy this habit.
It doesn't work like that.
I'm going to crush this habit. And yeah, and then I find myself I'm good for a couple of days and I just lose my mind, right?
You're being hard on yourself.
Yeah, you're being hard on yourself, whereas... what my treatment is now is I'm weaning, like more, I call it weaning myself down more and more and more.
Yeah, very cool.
To the point
very
where,
cool.
Yeah, my behavior is changing and you guys see it.
You know, one of the questions you might ask yourself is, why do I have the need to put my hand to my mouth?
That's an oral fixation, I think.
But you need to think emotionally, why have I had that need? Emotionally, why, you know, and mm-hmm. I ask my clients that, you know, when I work with smokers, you know, what, and how do you break that emotional need to put your fingers to your mouth?
Well, it's boredom, usually.
Start putting your foot to your mouth, and that's very uncomfortable.
You'll
be like, I ain't doing that
again. These don't taste nearly as good as a cigarette.
Yeah. but I know I set up that first topic.
And I destroyed it, so I'm very sorry about that.
You took it like way out. That was really interesting. Really interesting. But I wanted to make a point not a point, but I wanted to make a, not an announcement, what do you call it, a comment, that I think that the winds of change had started quite a while ago.
They didn't start when Obama got in office, do you
know? No, it was before
Kevin,
that.
No.
It was before
Kevin,
that.
No.
We were talking with, for example, another guest on Ghostly Talk years ago. We were talking with Bill Nell. He said that in college, in high school,
mm-hmm.
I think it was, he had put up flyers all over. He was going to start in high school a UFO club.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
He expected. Now this was years ago, years
this
and decades ago,
50s
right?
And 60s, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
And he wanted to start a UFO club or an mm-hmm. alien club or something like that. And he put up the flyers, you know, like you have to do. And
mm-hmm.
and he, you know, he got a room for it and everything like that. He expected a couple of people, right?
Yeah.
So he had
mm-hmm.
like, you know, probably if I were going to do it, I'd have like a little tray of cookies or something, you know. And I imagine he brought like not nearly enough because he said that it was standing room only, and people were like out in the hall.
Yeah, they piled in.
I think
very cool.
I think that kind of thing, you know, people are willing to change and willing to open up their belief system. And
mm-hmm. but sometimes they need some inspiration, though.
Yes.
Which leads back to that thing where no, not one man or woman is going to lead the charge. They mm-hmm. may have the inspiration and they may have the power to inspire other mm-hmm. people, but then it's a snowball effect after that thing.
And I also think this whole changing the perspective of, are we making the change? Are we helping people make the change? Which is, that's kind of a part of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm almost convinced that a lot of what I'm doing is I'm just living in the reality. My life is the reality. I believe in the extraterrestrial reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I've let go of, I don't believe in secrecy anymore. I believe that I know everything there is to know. If I open up a space that I get that knowledge, it shows up. I don't believe in secrecy anymore. I mean, there's a lot of things. I don't buy into them anymore. I don't buy into the belief system of them.
Now, the question I have with that, we got a couple minutes, we have to go to break here, but is that when you give yourself to that, but when you accept that and you make that change and you go through this change, you know, and I consider myself, you know, while, I mean, I'm still working on it, and I mean, well, I can say for sure when it comes to extraterrestrials, I mean, I hate to say it again, but I saw a UFO not too long ago. I saw it with my
very
own
cool.
two eyes, stone cold sober, staring at me right in the sky. I saw it.
Very cool.
So you're not going to, there's not anyone out there that's going to tell me that, you know, well, no, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy, okay? I do all right for myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not out of my mind. I saw this thing. Now, the only thing is when you get to that point, and this is, I guess, what the growth area would be, is that I see so many unenlightened people out there.
Are you focusing on the enlightened people or the unenlightened people?
The unenlightened people, because they drive
me insane.
Then
how would you consider focusing on only the enlightened people?
Well, there's not that many out there. That's the problem.
There are. I think, you know, when you talk to people one-on-one,
yeah,
I am stunned at the number of people who have had anomalous experiences. Stunned.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I agree with.
And if you give them a chance, they like to talk about it. Now, whether or not they're going to take that next step from a private reality to a public belief system and a public, a publicly acclaimed reality is something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody has paranormal experiences. I'm just almost convinced of that.
I'm with you on that. I think I'm just being much more shallow than you are right now.
Yeah,
that's my problem.
Yeah, you're being exciting.
That's my problem. No, I'm being much more shallow because, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Because, I mean, some of the weirdest people I've met in my life
are in this room.
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
But some people that my point is some people that I've met that I could never take to actually go, oh, so that's what you do? Can I tell you something, Scott? I got something, a story I want to tell you that I can.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really well.
In the next half hour, I definitely
want
to
break it.
We have there's so many different ways we can take this, but I definitely, Rebecca, I want to know about the interdimensional aspect to this and the origin.
Yeah, I think we laid a good foundation.
I mean, I hope
here.
Hopefully that was
cool.
A good foundation, but
Very cool.
Do have to take the break because isn't this the break where
Body Event News, yep, we have
all
news.
The paranormal news, and I do want to hear about that.
Yeah, hang tight 1 second, Rebecca.
Thanks,
thank you for joining us again. We'll be right back here. Yeah, we're cooking here. This is really cool.
While we're on the break, www.rebeccahardcastle.com. Visit it, learn, and we'll be back with more.
Ghostly
Talk!
Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vent. Do you need a celebrity to promote your product or service? Planning a big event and want that little extra star power? Want to have lunch or dinner with the cast of Leave It to Beaver? Or dinner and a concert with Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits? Then go to Genesis Creations Entertainment at www.genesiscreations.biz and book a celebrity today. Moonlight Star is heading over to Criminal Minds. It's been 9 months since inconsolable Moonlight fans last saw Alex O'Loughlin playing sexy vampire-turned-private investigator Mick St. John. Soon, however, he'll be returning to our small screens when he joins the cast of Criminal Minds. According to Entertainment Weekly's Michael Osello, the Moonlight star will be returning to CBS to play a serial killer in at least one episode of Criminal Minds, which is tentatively scheduled to air in April. Moonlight attracted a huge following, around 7 million per episode, but the execs at CBS weren't keen on picking up the series for a second season. 3 months after pulling the plug on Moonlight, CBS signed a one-year deal with O'Loughlin, with plans to give him a new show to be developed by Mark Gordon, who is credited for his work on Criminal Minds, Desperate Housewives, and Grey's Anatomy. At present, O'Loughlin is on the film set of Whiteout, which is slated to hit theaters on September 11th and is directed by Dominic Sena and stars Kate Beckinsale in the lead role. Hollywood actress Selma Hayek's daughter recently had an encounter with ghosts in her mother's Los Angeles home. After the spooky incident, the actress is more than convinced that her mansion is haunted. Hayek revealed that her 2-year-old daughter, Valentina, woke up in the middle of the night and began talking to thin air. According to Hayek, her daughter was looking at someone, but there was no one there. She told the spirit goodbye in English and in French. Hayek says, I guess she was trying in different languages to see what nationality this ghost was. It was terrifying. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parxnews@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal. Ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
He's windmilling her hair right now.
Yeah. That's right.
Amazing. Have you changed all these up?
Oh, I'm doing all kinds of insane stuff awesome. In the studio. Awesome. I'm just ripping everything apart and rebuilding it, and it's fun.
Awesome. We're talking with Rebecca Hardcastle of www.rebeccahardcastle.com.
Having a good old time.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about enlightened. She did the hypnosis thing, self-hypnosis, a disciplined regimen of self-hypnosis, and things just started coming to her. And then all of a sudden the alien contactee and everything, and it just like totally transformed her from...
Eclipses me because I can't remember to drink my orange juice in the morning, for God's sake.
But one thing at a time.
One thing at a time. We'll work out the orange juice first.
Yeah, there you go.
The thing is, you went from having a tough time in life, and then doing the self hypnosis, and going from being a chaplain at Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio, to suddenly like exploring all this paranormal stuff, and then UFOs, and now you're involved in the political stuff. You're mm-hmm. involved in the Phoenix Lights 3, mm-hmm. the ETVoteNow.org, and that was quite a transformation.
It was. It was quite a transformation, and it didn't happen overnight.
Okay, good.
It didn't happen
overnight. So you got some time with your orange juice.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well, you can work up to it.
I'm going
to
need a couple weeks just for the orange juice, I think.
Trust me, quitting smoking is going to happen. It doesn't happen overnight.
No.
No, it doesn't. Now, well, one thing that I do notice, where I'm just looking at our notes here and stuff like that, and fear. I see the word fear here, removing fear. And I personally think, and this has come up a lot of times in the show in the past, is this idea of fear is what really, really controls a lot of us.
Well, there's a couple of things with fear. There's the there's the fear of change, which is...
Sounds smoking.
As much as everybody wants change, you're always like, oh, I want change. I want everything to be better. I want change. As soon as something happens, you're just absolutely scared that, oh my gosh, it's not comfortable
anymore.
Well,
your security blanket's gone.
Yeah, and then also, the fear of change was another one. I lost it. It's gone.
But it's really interesting that you're bringing up this topic, because that's become one of my specialties. One of my specialties is dealing with trauma.
Okay.
And trauma is based in fear, and I learned a lot. When I first got in the field, I started reading John Mack. Are you familiar with John Mack?
The name,
yes. He was the man at Harvard that he examined about 200 abductees and came out and mm-hmm. said that, they were normal and they passed every psychiatric test.
Yeah.
And as a result of his work in dealing with these clients and publishing books, he was put on trial at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And almost lost his job, but he retained his job and he was victorious in this academic trial.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing John talked about in his work is called fencing the fear. In other words, he saw that when people went through these changes or had encounters or started letting go of their belief system, oftentimes they were very traumatized and they were very fearful. So he called fencing the fear. What I found in the last 5 years is that because of technology now, and you guys will probably be into this, it's so cool, and it's what I'm going to talk about in the UFO Congress in Laughlin.
Yeah.
At the end of the
Everybody
month.
Cool gets to go there.
Everybody, if you guys ever get a chance to go, it's like a UFO hangout. It's so much fun.
I have to put that on our schedule next year.
We're going to have to.
Yeah, very fun.
Although I might not make it past the thing in the airport. In Las Vegas airport, they've got like this area where you can do slot machines, and I may not make
right.
a pass there.
Unless, believe you me, there's plenty of those in Laughlin.
Oh,
take your quarters or dollars and go into Laughlin. But anyway, what I'm going to be talking about there is all of the technological innovations that have come down the line in the last 3 to 5 years. And ironically, there's a community of people here in Arizona who are scientists and neurobiologists who are working on this next era of how we cleanse the human brain of all of the trauma scars. Because what's happened, they're finding out, is that the human species, as it experiences life, creates these trauma scars. You can actually take a blueprint of a human brain of its trauma scars.
Uh-huh.
These scientists can look at this blueprint of trauma scars and say, this guy's going to get have a heart attack. This person's going to have strokes. This person's going to get cancer. This person's going to get, a chronic inflammatory disease. Literally by your trauma scarring.
Wow.
So,
and not only do they read the blueprint,
uh-huh.
but now we have ways, and I work with these guys, and now we have ways to not only read it, but clear it. So literally, we are moving the species into a totally different rewired neural network that is just going to literally take the lid off exoconsciousness and the human species. And we are moving into the extraterrestrial, as moving into the world accelerated as galactic extraterrestrial beings. That's what's going to happen.
Well, these trauma scars you're referring to, I mean...
That's the fence that's kept us out of the galactic community. The trauma scars are the fence. They are literally the fence posts. I am increasingly convinced of that.
Well,
the reason that we're in galactic solitary confinement is because of those trauma scars.
And this is what's holding us back, obviously.
Absolutely. One of the main things that is holding us back.
So the human
when we as our species learn how to remove those scars, everything's going to change.
Well, I know that the brain is supposed to wire and rewire itself as it needs to, and sometimes it's successful and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
If you lose a part of your brain or something, there's new pathways
mm-hmm.
are formed
right.
around the
But scarring is a different situation. Scarring is a different emotional situation. When your brain gets in an emotional situation where you've been traumatized, and by the way, there's only two kinds of trauma, attack and abandonment.
Okay.
And once you get in that emotional traumatic situation, that emotional neural network runs right against that trauma scar and stops. The brain doesn't care that it's not functioning optimally. The brain just wants to keep you alive.
Right.
So then, all this brain work and, all this brain research that I've been doing and consciousness research, I mean, it's just a whole new world. I mean, this everything, like you said at the beginning of your show, mm-hmm. everything is coming together. This whole pattern, these streams are moving into literally a tsunami that is going to pick up the human race and move it into and through 2012.
Well, removing these trauma scars now, I mean, I'm sure it isn't something you can do overnight, much less you can't do anything overnight anymore.
Do you go into hypnosis to remove these, or is
it a procedure? Well, actually, interestingly enough, some of the ways that it's done is through music.
Oh, interesting.
Which, of course, the Tibetan Buddhists have often used, tones and music, and lots of spirituality is linked to tones and music. Tones and music relieve the trauma scars. Just going through almost like a hypnotic, remove, release, and resolve of whatever the traumatic situation was, coupled with music, is a way to do it. Another thing they found out is that when a person is traumatized, if they're allowed to shake, that they are literally by the shaking busting loose the trauma scars, and they don't scar as badly. We're bringing people back from Iraq and Afghanistan, mm-hmm. and literally putting them through these training exercises, almost like yoga positions, where they hold it long enough that their body starts shaking. Uh-huh. And for a month, if they can do these exercises and shake themselves every day, their level of post-traumatic stress syndrome is dramatically decreased.
Interesting.
They're shaking loose the scar.
Mm-hmm. So do you think if you find somebody enlightened enough to say that they've reached nirvana, because that's one of the practices of the East, right, achieving nirvana, would nirvana be complete removal of trauma scars then?
I think it could be complete removal of trauma scars. Or it could also be, I've often thought that nirvana is just basically someone practicing astral travel, consciousness travel enough so that they go into an upper state of consciousness where mm-hmm. they're in this utter tranquility. And then because of being in that tranquil vibration of nirvana, that it, seeps down into the rest of their brain and neural system and body. Because every place, I'm sure you guys at Ghost Talk Radio know uh-huh. that whatever energy you're around, it's going to have an effect on you
uh-huh.
as much as you allow it to.
Well, in regards to Buddhism, I mean, one of the fundamentals, and this is stuff I learned years and years ago, one of the fundamentals of Buddhism is that basically desire, the right. idea of desire, is mm-hmm. the cause of suffering, which suffering can cause scarring, right? It just mm-hmm. kind of all
Absolutely.
Leads together.
Suffering is scarring.
And their idea is if you remove the desire, mm-hmm. you remove the suffering, mm-hmm. okay?
But most major religions, Buddhism included, uh-huh. have some kind of link to suffering. Mm-hmm. Jesus died on the cross, the suffering of the Jewish people, the suffering in Hinduism, suffering is a big thing in Buddhism. Mm-hmm. There's just kind of lay down because you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
Get on the world, you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's one of the belief systems that we need to let go of.
Well, it doesn't seem dramatic itself.
I remember sitting in theology school thinking, I'm just not swallowing this. Why do I have to swallow this?
Yeah.
I don't believe this. I don't believe that we have to go along with suffering, and we have to accept that belief system. Belief systems are very powerful.
Well, we have been conditioned, I think, as people, especially I think in this country, that, if you want, and again, this desire thing comes into play, but if you want to achieve, you got to work and you got to sweat, no pain, no gain, and all that machismo stuff, right?
And the beginning of your show was showing that that's not true, because connections are happening effortlessly.
They are.
Okay.
They just have, you didn't put any work into what, the last six, well, you put a lot of work into the last 6 months of guests, but mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't sit there and connect the dots and say, well, we're going to do this.
No,
I
honestly
they
didn't.
They just sort of came
Your
out
universal
that way.
Mind made the connections.
Absolutely, because my mind is all, my friends.
Yeah. It certainly is. And you know what? Giving your mind permission to be that mm-hmm. is a huge first step.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm glad. Maybe I am doing better than I thought I was. You were talked about, I have to ask you about this, because you talked about music a few minutes ago as far as relieving scars. And this is my...
He lit up.
I lit up and I was pointing my finger and making all these points in my mind. Now, I want to give an example because, first of all, does heavy metal count?
Absolutely. Because what does heavy metal do? Heavy metal, if you go to like a noise rock concert or something, everybody is standing there shaking.
They're dancing, man. They're getting it on. They're having a good time.
You know, it's not like Mozart. Mozart is a different release.
Yeah.
Noise rock or, you know, rock or, you know, whatever you want to call it, that makes your body has to move.
Well, the reason I ask is because we talked about this at the beginning of the show.
This is so weird because the opening to the show, you played pop punk.
Well, yeah, because I told you this morning.
And like it was just pounding.
And your head doing this, right?
We were, all
our
heads were bouncing.
Your whole head is popping up and down.
Well, yeah. Well,
and I had to stop when the monitor fell off the...
Yeah, we had to pick the monitor up and broken it off. When I said this morning, though, Doug, I'm like, I rediscovered pop punk this morning, right? Now, let me explain this a little bit further. This new band that I was jazzing on, and we played some of their tunes earlier this in the show. They, for some reason, Thursday or Friday, I stumbled upon these guys and started listening to their tunes, and I got to be honest with you. I've been kind of like in this, when the music listening stuff, it's been kind of just all kill, break things, destroy everything. And it was a real breath of fresh air to hear something fun, right?
Right.
Something light and you can just bob your head to. And it really kind of charged me up and put me in a way, way better mood than I was in before.
Absolutely.
I'm not
good enough to bring donuts into the office, but it was still pretty good.
Hey, one day at a time.
Still go together anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
When you mentioned the therapeutic things, because I was really, I've been kind of cranky this whole week, and I heard this new band I'm jazzing on, and it really made me feel good. And you saw me at work today, just popped my head nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to their couple of albums, like three times today.
Music is huge.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a good example of how it can help. It really can. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was a bit scarred this week from what I've been having, you know, the daily grind, right? So that's a good
example. Oh, my God, you wake up in the morning and turn on CNBC and you get scarred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
You get scared to death.
Yeah, even National Public Radio is like gloom and doom now. I mean, back in the day, they used to actually talk about interesting stuff, but now they're just as bad as the big people are, it seems like.
So everybody wants ratings.
Yeah.
Next up on Ghostly Talk, gloom and doom. I
thought that was our format anyway.
Oh, that is our format. Yes, I forgot.
So that's a good, I mean, those are some good things. I mean, people can try. I mean, it may take more than that, but those are some things I think that people might be able to just
look
into.
Everything helps.
Yeah.
Everything helps. And I think music helps. I think also the type of people that you choose to be around. You know, are you being around people who are vampiring you and sucking your energy?
God.
Or are you around people that, you know, there's an even exchange of positive energy?
Yeah.
And for some of us, that may mean, you know, readjusting who we're friends with or how much time we spend with that friend or the state of mind we have when we're with that friend.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with, you know, what we choose to watch on television.
Yeah, and that too.
No, I got good stuff. Absolutely. Project Runway is the most, it is the most trauma scar removing show ever.
Well, these are all inputs, I guess, you can use. I mean, anything that's going to kind of take the load off, I guess, and make you maybe not forget about things, because that's not what you want to do. I don't think you should do things to forget, because it's going to be there no matter what. You know, that's
no, it's not.
What's that?
What's going to be there no matter what?
From what I've learned by growing up is that, you know, if you have issues and problems, you know, some people, we've heard the old, I drink to forget, my friend. Well, you're going to wake up with a hangover and feel even worse now, and the problem's still going to be there, right? I mean,
do you believe that?
I believe that. I've been through it.
Have you had an experience where you've always believed that? That's always been true?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've done it myself. I mean, I went out and I'm going to get loaded tonight because I'm having a rough week and I deserve to get drunk. And I go out and get drunk, and then I get up the next day. And
but
it's
getting drunk is not relieving the trauma scar. Getting drunk is like taking a pharmaceutical pill. That's just masking the symptoms.
Okay.
That doesn't have anything to do with doing your work. As a matter of fact, you guys are on Ghost Talk Radio, and I can tell you from my hypnotherapy practice that, you know, addictive substances, while they're fun and, you know, while they're fine, I don't have any problem with it, but they also, you open yourself to attract all kinds of entities.
That we've heard so many times,
and
too, Rebecca.
I think it's seen that several times.
I mean, I see that in my practice all the time. People move into houses. As a matter of fact, I just talked to somebody the other day, and they were talking about, you know, I said, you know, I feel like a lot of alcoholism is in your house. And she goes, well, we don't drink. I said, well, it's in your house. I feel it. I can feel it.
Yeah.
Sure enough, she calls me back, and she goes, oh, yeah. She said, you know, come to think of it, we've been here, you know, several years, and we're still finding old alcohol bottles from the former owners. And I said, well, you know, you got to clear that energy out.
Did
it's got to go.
Husband live there?
Bonnie's ex-husband there. Wow.
So
there's truth to that. I mean, it's you are putting yourself into, you know, there was a school, I think, in the 60s that really, you know, came out and said, you know, to have higher states of consciousness, you have to go out of your body. And what that did was, in the 60s, that allowed all of us to start to experience what quantum consciousness was. Quantum consciousness is zero-point type, limitless, boundless consciousness. The easiest way to get to that is to, you know, drink your ayahuasca tea or, you know, smoke a little weed or, you know, get drunk or whatever. You know, do some mushrooms or whatever. And you get to feel literally what quantum consciousness feels like.
Yeah, brownies and pizza.
Now, what's happening now in, you know, the early 21st century is we're discovering that higher states of consciousness, quantum consciousness, is not something that we have to take a drug to experience, but it's something that all of us can experience without a drug.
That's true.
Exactly.
That once we tap into what quantum consciousness feels like, and we have a belief system that supports it, which, by the way, all of this is what I call exoconsciousness, then we're living in it. You know, I like to tell a story about these shamans. There was a shaman conference recently at a university, and this guy wrote a book on the shamans, and he said, you know, he was going to talk ayahuasca tea ceremonies and this, that, and the other thing, and some woman raised her hand in the back. She goes, you know, I don't understand it. Why don't you ever talk about women? Why do you only talk about men? And he kind of stopped and got real quiet and looked at her, and he said, well, the reason I didn't talk about them is because they didn't drink the tea. And she goes, well, why didn't they drink the tea? And he goes, well, actually, they didn't drink the tea because they didn't need to drink the tea. They went into altered states of consciousness as female shamans without the tea. And they stayed conscious and guided the men who were drinking the tea. I would submit to all of us that it doesn't matter if you're male or female. You don't have to drink the tea.
Oh,
we can all go to altered states of the highest level of altered states of consciousness without having to drink the tea.
Yeah, and I think that's something I've believed that for years. I don't, you know, and I've known lots of people over the years that have taken themselves to altered states of consciousness, you know, through use of pharmaceuticals and nasal decongestants and all that fun stuff. And
that'll do it too.
Yeah, and you know, it's not been my thing personally, but you know, I've always thought that there's got to be a way. I mean, this is why we're on this journey, doing this show and stuff like that, is to learn these things. I think there is a better way to do it without harming yourself. It's improving.
Absolutely. And not only are we going into altered states of consciousness, but also in the early 21st century, we're moving back into our body, and we're getting in touch with, I don't know, you guys talk about like kundalini or things like that.
We have.
Or chakras. Or,
I'm
a real advocate that, you know, that whole, you know, Hindu belief system of the kundalini and, you know, and riding the life force inside your body is essential to we as a species moving into exoconsciousness.
The book. We got to talk about this for a second. We're like,
I know, we're only like a minute from the end.
We got to make this like a 6-hour show or something now.
That'd
be fun.
Okay, no.
Day together.
No, I mean like in general, because we always run into this problem, Rebecca, where we get somebody wonderful like yourself on the show, and we just want to talk all night with you about this
stuff. It's fun, yeah.
But we got to talk about your book for a second, Exoconsciousness, Your 21st Century Mind. This is out now. You can get it on Amazon, correct?
That's right, and also my website, exoconsciousness.com.
Yeah, I saw that too. There's two websites.
You can put that up as a link. I'd really appreciate
it.
We'd be happy to do that for you, no problem.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
All the things we covered tonight are in this book. I mean,
and
I
more.
I think,
stuff that
yeah,
we didn't
I think
get to that I would have loved to have talked about.
I don't think we covered a lot. Who am I kidding?
Well, I just need to come back and spend another Sunday afternoon with you guys.
I absolutely love that idea. You did mention a couple upcoming things where people can actually meet you and shake your hand.
Yeah, I'm going to be at the Laughlin UFO Congress at the end of the month, end of February. I'm also going to be in the at the X conference in D.C., in Washington, D.C., with Steve Bassett in April.
Everyone's going
April
to these things.
16th or 17th, that weekend.
Everyone's going to these things, and, and I didn't plan them. Well, the end of this
month. We only have, like,
well, we're going to the X conference is very cool if you guys can make it to that. That's, you know, very, I go to the X conference every year.
Yeah, we
I'd love to go to Laughlin.
We got a full year planned already.
Do you?
On the road. But we're going to have to maybe change things up a little bit for 2009 and go to some of these UFO conferences.
I think so. It's where everybody's going.
So, Rebecca, we unfortunately, we're at the top of the hour here. This really sucks. This is suck, man.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
The website.
You got this one, Doug? Thanks.
Yes, thank you. The website is www.RebeccaHardcastle.com.
And also
exoconsciousness.com.
.com.
All right. We're going to put that up, of course, at ghostlytalk.com. And thank you so much, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Hang on the line one sec.
Yeah, don't leave us just yet. Okay. Hang on the line for a second. Okay.
Coming up next.
Super.
Finally, we get to talk to Patrick Byrne.
Been a number of years.
Of course, from Court TV and True TV's Haunting Evidence.
Been a while,
We've run into him at, like, lots and lots of conferences, including here in Michigan.
We spent very many a late nights with Patrick.
Oh, a lot of fun. But,
great guy.
But he hasn't actually been on a live show until tonight.
Yes.
So, everybody, stay tuned through this break, and we'll bring you Patrick. What am I thinking? We'll bring you Patrick Byrne.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.